Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke 13, beginning in verse 10 and going through verse 21. This is God's Word. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches." Again, he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. It was a Sabbath day, the day that is set aside since the creation of the world in order to worship the Lord and serve him by resting. A reminder that he is God and we are not. A reminder that God is not depending on us to make the universe run or to make the earth run. We're given work to do, but one day out of seven, God told his people, rest. Take a day off. Not you may take a day off. You need rest. Guess what? How many of you in here, let me just see a show of hands, how many of you in here are human? Some not? Okay. I'm assuming everybody in here is human. And if you're human, you were designed by God, and part of his design of you is that you need rest. Computers are amazing things. And, they run all the time. They're running while we're sleeping. Isn't that nice? We're resting. They're working. Every now and then, something goes wrong. The first thing that most computer repair people will tell you to do is try turning it off. Then let it rest for a few moments and turn it on again. Because very often, just a momentary break resets everything. God designed us with a need to reset. How often do you need to turn your computer off? I'm not sure. Not often enough at my house, apparently. But I know how often I need to rest. I need to take a day off once a week. Well, if one day off is good, wouldn't two or three days off be better? Well, not on a routine basis, but God did give his people certain times of year when they were to take a week off. Or when it came to their fields, they were supposed to take a year off. Really? Yeah. And they didn't do that. And they ended up, when God punished them for their idolatry, their unfaithfulness to him, one of the things he said about the judgment that he put on his people was that now the land is going to get its Sabbaths. It's going to get the time off that I said it was supposed to have. Now, Pastor Wood, are you about to tell us that we're switching to Saturdays instead of Sunday and so forth? Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. Read the New Testament. But what I want you to understand is that the principle of rest is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is our Sabbath rest. And if you are not entering into that rest, if you are not trusting in him, you're not just going to wear yourself out. You're going to be destroyed. So, if anybody knew about the Sabbath, it would be the one who is Lord of the Sabbath, the one who is the ultimate Sabbath, and that is Jesus. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Now, I would have looked at her and said it was a disc problem, okay? I mean, it must be. I've had problems with some of my discs. In fact, the reason I'm not supposed to lift anything heavy now is because of the discs in my neck, which are messed up. I would have said that's probably the problem with this woman. The Bible says, and Jesus says in this passage, that what was causing her to be bent over for 18 years, unable to straighten up, was actually an evil spirit. Satan was keeping her bound. Pastor, what do you think all disease is caused by demons? No. The Bible doesn't indicate that. But do you think that some physical problems are caused by evil spirits? Absolutely. The Bible does say that. And that was the case here. This woman was crippled over for 18 years because of an evil spirit. She was bound, in Jesus' words, bound by Satan. So she is presenting with an obvious problem. You don't have to look and say, gee, I wonder if that bothers her. Her difficulty was very obvious. The cause of the difficulty may not have been known to her or the other people in the synagogue, but it was known to Jesus. And when Jesus saw her in that situation, having been that way for 18 years, he said to himself, well, I know that they've been criticizing me for healing sometimes on the Sabbath, so I'll deal with her later privately. No. What was Jesus doing? He was teaching in the synagogues. And with his actions, he was about to teach something very important. And so when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. It was an instantaneous healing. Isn't that marvelous? Imagine, 18 years. How many of you in this room right now are less than 18 years old. Let me see your hands. That's the majority of the people in this room. Okay? You haven't lived as long as this woman had this problem. And instantly, it's gone. She's been healed by Jesus. So she is praising God, and the people who ran the synagogue ruler and his cronies, were upset. Why would they be upset? Because it's the Sabbath, and you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. What did Jesus do work-wise? He called the woman forward. That's okay. He spoke. That should be okay. He put his hands on her, and she was set free from the demon and totally healed. He didn't even work up a sweat. You understand? Years ago, there was a controversy in South Africa because revival had come, and some of the churches were very upset by the fact that the revival involved a lot of things that they weren't used to seeing, signs and wonders. And one of the pastors was told by a pastor who wasn't part of the revival, one of the pastors who was part of the revival was told by a pastor who wasn't part of the Bible, a revival, we believe that what you are doing is of the devil. That's a very dangerous accusation. It's in that context that Jesus warns against the unpardonable sin, which is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. He said that because they were attributing what he was doing to Satan. But this preacher said that, and this pastor who was part of the revival and had known that guy and they'd been friends said, "Why would you say that?" And he said, because of the way that you're praying for sick people. And he said, don't you pray for sick people? And the critical pastor said, yes, but they're not healed. The critical pastor eventually was embarrassed by his own stupidity and repented and became part of the revival. But you see, a lot of us, even in our culture, even in this country, are perfectly happy to pray for people as long as nothing miraculous happens. Okay? We call on God to answer our prayers, and when he does, we get nervous. Wow, should I tell people what happened? I don't want people to think I'm weird. Jesus has just healed this woman. Everybody saw it. And the synagogue ruler knows he can't tell Jesus, don't do that, because it's not going to work. It's obvious that Jesus does what the Father tells him. So the synagogue ruler turns to the people and says, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. If you're sick, don't come on the Sabbath. Is that crazy? Yes. Where is that coming from? That is coming from an evil spirit. That is coming from a spirit that hates the work of God because that spirit hates God. And so Jesus responds, answered him, you hypocrites. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? They were commanded to do so. God commanded them to take care of their animals. So, should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? If you loose the ox and you loose the donkey, why is it wrong to loose this woman? Their argument made no sense. It was obviously stupid, evil thinking. When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. Yeah. And the people were delighted.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and He's holding out His hand.
So then Jesus asked, "What's the kingdom like?" And He gives 2 images in response. One is that it's like a mustard seed. How many of you here have seen a watermelon seed? Seen a watermelon seed? You can see them pretty easily, can't you? How many of you here have seen a mustard seed? Several of you. How big are they compared to a watermelon seed? Which one's bigger? Watermelon seed is huge by comparison. Mustard seed, tiny little thing. Just a tiny little thing. But Jesus says if you plant that mustard seed, it grows into a tree that birds can nest in. Starts out seemingly tiny and insignificant and grows into something that is beneficial. And then He says, what shall I compare it to? The kingdom of God. It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Yeast is not big either. Little bits of yeast. But when you put it in dough, it changes the nature of the dough. It changes everything. It permeates the whole thing. Jesus says that's what the kingdom is like. Here's the main point today. The kingdom of God is growing and spreading and will not be stopped. Jesus was in the synagogue and He was teaching, and there was a woman who had been bound by Satan for 18 years. No longer. Jesus didn't say, well, I need to do something about that. Let me see if I can come up with a plan. Jesus did what the Father told Him to do. He said what the Father told Him to say, and the woman was set free. You know, Jesus came, the Bible says, in order to destroy the works of the devil. He's still doing it. Lives are being changed. From time to time, I tell the story of an interview that I saw when I was in my teens. An alcoholic truck driver got saved, and his life was turned around, and he began to be successful, and he ended up running for the U.S. Senate, and he was elected. And he's serving in the United States Senate, which is a very prestige position. You're only 2 people from each state get to be senators, and you serve for 6-year terms, okay? Congressman, 2 years. Senator, 6 years. President, 4 years. So, I mean, it's a big deal. It is the most exclusive club in America. Only 100 members allowed. That's one way of looking at it. This guy is a U.S. senator prestige position, powerful position. And Bill Moyers was interviewing him for PBS. And he got him to tell about this remarkable backstory, because not a lot of U.S. senators are formerly alcoholic truck drivers. You know, that's just not the usual path to power. And he told very beautifully about how he'd come to faith in Christ and Jesus had just completely changed him. And Moyers said, "Will you talk about," and this was the end of the interview, which was just perfect. He said, "You talk about Jesus doing this and Jesus being alive, but where is the empirical proof?" And the senator looked astonished by the question. And he said, "Here, I am empirical proof." And that was the end of the interview. Is that a good ending? You see, it's true. Jesus is still setting people free from what binds them, from sin, from addiction, from Satan. Jesus is still transforming lives because he hasn't changed. We're the ones who need to change. And he's the one who can change us. And so all around the world, the kingdom of God is growing. More and more people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and their lives are being changed. Now, are there a lot of folks who are false professors? They claim to be Christian, but they're not? Yes. Well, isn't that discouraging? No, it's exactly what Jesus said would be the case. I remind you, and I thank God that many of you from year to year memorize the Sermon on the Mount. But in Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons? Lord, we did this and we did this in your name.'" And he says, "I will say to them, 'Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness.'" So there are going to be people who claim to be Christian and aren't Christian. Yeah, Jesus said so. Some of them will even be preachers. Absolutely. You can be extremely religious on your way to hell. Those folks speaking to Jesus in Matthew 7 are not talking about what he did. They're talking about what they did. "I did this. I did this. Didn't I do this? Didn't you see that? Look at me. Look at what I did." Read the book of Galatians. If you think you can be justified by what you do, you are not saved. If you know that your only hope is Jesus, you've been set free. And you're being set free. And you will be set free. Jesus is still changing lives today. The kingdom of God is growing and spreading. And it will not be stopped. Because Jesus Christ is risen. He is alive. And Jesus Christ is Lord.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.